Who got a nap? Who got a nap? Who got a nap? I got to find out where I got to preach the hardest and loudest at to keep you awake. All right. So those of you who may not have been here this morning, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. All right, what did we learn this morning? Ladies, what is this? Ladies only, what is this? Axe head. Gentlemen, what is this? Yeah, that's what we learned this morning. No, we learned a lot more than that. Just thought I'd have a little fun for a moment. I don't want to recap and tell everything and make fun of Miss Tina anything tonight. I don't want to retell anything. But good to be here tonight. We'll read our text in just a moment. My wife was a little worried because I have not preached since the middle of October to this morning. And she was really, really worried that I was wound up and I was just going to give it to you. I mean, just be here for days. And I've already been told tonight, don't worry about it, preacher. All the fast food places stay open till 10. So we got to know. But it reminds me of the farmer who came into town to hear the new pastor preach. And very first Sunday he came in, and the weather was a little bad, but he weathered a storm and came in and looked around, and he was the only one there. And preacher looked at him and said, "What do you think?" He said, "Well, preacher, if I went out to feed the pigs and only one showed up, I'd still feed him." That night, the storm raged on. He came back to church that night, and once again, just the pig farmer and him, and he went out, and again, he asked the farmer, he said, "What do you think?" So, "Well, preacher, if I went out to feed the pigs and only one showed up, I wouldn't give him the whole load." So, I did good this morning. I did good this morning. But I appreciate you folks and listening and encouragement and praying for us, getting to know you folks. It's been a real, real delight. Looking forward to this service. Want to do not too quick of a recap, but just go over a couple things for those that may not have been here this morning. And just to remind you, then we'll get on to the next and final 2 points. The second one's a little short, and the third one's a little longer. But let's go ahead and look in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. I made fun of myself this morning. I'm going to try to behave and not make fun of my wife, but I can't help it. If we're around here long enough, you'll find out real quick that I call Miss Michelle Princess. Princess, she loves it. And I got to talking about it one day because I always called my girls when they were little growing up Princess. And one of the granddaughters asked her, "Why aren't you the queen?" She said, "Sweetheart, the queen has too many responsibilities. I'll stick with Princess." So, but 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, and beginning reading in verse number 1. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, 'Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell.' And he answered, 'Go ye.' And one said, 'Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them, and when they had come to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' And the man of God said, 'Where fell it?' And he showed him the place and cut down a stick and cast it thither and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, 'Take it up to thee.' And he put out his hand and took it." Let's pray. Father, please bless the reading of thy word tonight. Father, help me thy servant. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Be with those this evening under the sound of my voice. Father, help them put away the cares and concerns of the world that, Lord, they might glean and we might learn something together from the scriptures. Father, help me to be obedient unto thee tonight. Pray that I'll be a help and a blessing and encouragement to someone, Father, that we'll be able to all of us leave tonight knowing that we've learned a few principles that we can apply to our lives, Lord, that we might use today. Our Lord, but remember that we might need and use later in life. Father, we love you and we thank you for your provisions to us and your goodness. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. God and your needs, as we talked about this morning. And remember, we talked about biblical hermeneutics teaches us to take it literally wherever we can. Don't make something out of something that's just not there. Remember, we said, don't try to rationalize it. So we gave an example. Don't try to allegorize it. And don't try to moralize the story. There is not a rational explanation, nor an allegorical explanation, or a moral explanation. However, there is a spiritual truth. Do you remember that spiritual truth from this morning? God meets needs. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a God who knows our needs before we realize we even have it? He meets needs. God is into meeting needs. That it, one place we talked about this morning in the Bible, Philippians 4:19, that promise to the missions giving, the missions minded church, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is really into meeting the needs of his people. And when you put the first six chapters, as we said this morning, up through these first six, seven verses of chapter six, through into the context, it reveals that he is a miracle working God. And we ought to seek him who meets needs and works miracles. Without a doubt, we know if there was a provision we needed somewhere and it was being provided, we do all we can to get there. It's a shame today that the average Christian really doesn't get where they need to be at the feet of Jesus on a regular basis each morning in time in the Word and time in prayer, because he is the one that meets needs. Three thoughts. I gave the first one this morning. God is compassionate enough to meet our most basic need. And tonight, number two, God is powerful enough to meet our emergency needs. He's powerful enough to meet our emergency needs. Now, if we look back here in our story here in 2 Kings chapter 6, it is more than just having a little need that someone, having a little need that someone's need that was met. All of a sudden, this young prophet cries out. He says, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And we talked about that a little bit this morning. Remember the circumstance and the situation. He was greatly concerned because this axe head of great value did not belong to him, but was borrowed. And when we realize that it was borrowed, you begin to understand the dilemma of this young prophet. It may have been not have been a big deal to everybody, but it was a big deal to him. And dear friends, it may not have been urgent to everybody, again, but it was very urgent to him. It was an emergency situation. It was like it wasn't like he could run down to the hardware store, the local Home Depot or Lowe's or somewhere and buy that, or even himself whip out his credit card and just pay for it. There was a time that Israel, that there wasn't even a smith to work iron or to make another axe. So not only was it a great value that we talked about this morning, who was going to make it? Where would he find it? What would be the circumstances, or where would he go to? As a culture and society, Israel was way behind the rest of the world in the ability to work with iron and to make another axe. This guy is in an incredible dilemma. He was in an urgent situation. I'm going to park there just for a moment. This is absolutely free, not even my notes. But I can't help but to think, as our missionary brother and his family is here tonight, you know, sometimes our missionaries get to the field. A lot of things that we take for granted here that's available to us, it's not there. It's just not there. I remember the very first time when we arrived on the mission field in 1994. I graduated in May of 93. We were on the mission field by March of 94. First time we went out, we knew the basics. I could count in Russian. Matter of fact, I can count in two languages from 1 to 20. I went down to the market, and we had this little bitty refrigerator. We bought groceries every single day, milk every single day for a family at that time of five. I went down to the market all excited, had my big duffel bag. I was going to get my stuff loaded up, bring home the groceries. I was going to be the man. I was going to be the provider. And I went in, and I learned real quick. I was, okay, I need potatoes. I need carrots. I need some beef. But I'm not quite sure how to use or say the words. But I can point and grunt. You know something I didn't even think about, brother? I got there and pointed to what I want. And they asked me, I knew some basic stuff, how much I wanted, how many kilograms. I'm kilogram. Or, of course, I would be German, a dean in Russian. I didn't even think about the aspect. I had to give them money. And they had to give me back change. I had no idea, couldn't understand how much things cost or how much was by the pound. I just had to trust they gave me the correct change. I went home that day and I learned how to count a whole lot higher and recognize a whole lot more currency. But, you know, there's basic things that you can't find. Forget about going to the field and going down and finding some oatmeal or some cornflakes. Forget about going to the butcher and finding out where to get some meat in some places. It's just not there. You got to find out where it's located. Things aren't even refrigerated. I learned real quick when we went into the meat department and I saw all the heads on the wall underneath was the meat that belonged to that head. I thought to myself, how in the world am I going to know which is the best piece of meat? I learned real quick, the one with the most flies on it. How could 1,000 flies be wrong? It's got to be good. But we begin to learn a lot of things that we take for granted from. The urgent need of food, the urgent need of fuel, where to find gas. I bought fuel one time off the back of a tanker on the side of the road. I was afraid of the quality, so I pumped in 2 gallons, where to them it was a couple of liters, and drove up the road and back a couple times to make sure my car wasn't doing this. It was good fuel. I filled up my tank. This student was in an urgent need. It was beyond feeding his family. It was beyond, he probably didn't even have a family. But here's an axe head that he borrowed that maybe someone was so proud of him going off to study with the prophet. Here, you might need this. I'll let you borrow it. And now that it's gone, this was an emergency situation for him. And dear friends, when God comes to the rescue and meets our emergency needs, he is just as likely to meet them in a mundane, routine way as he is in a miraculous and spectacular way. He doesn't always throw a stick in the water and things float up. Sometimes it's in other ways. Sometimes it's in things that you would never guess or even realize you had the need. God meets our needs sometimes before we realize we have the need and before it even gets there. God meets our most basic needs, but also he meets those emergency needs. And dear friends, just because you can call 911 and get a quick response to an emergency need, don't think for a moment that God is not capable of doing the same thing. That God is not capable of throwing in a stick into the water and making things float to the top and meeting our needs. It may not be an axe head, may not be a spatula, but he can meet the needs just as quick. God meets needs. I don't know that I can tell the story right. My wife can correct me later, not in public. But I can remember some years ago as a young family, unemployed, waiting between ministries on what God would have us to do, and facing Christmas coming around the corner, and my wife so broken, thinking about what are we going to do this year for Christmas? We've always been able to give the children something and had no idea what we were going to do, where it was going to come from. But somewhere along the way, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law had a thought, had a burden, and wanted to be a blessing to us, and put a check off in the mail, and then forgot about it till sometime later, and made a phone call and said, "Oh, by the way, Michelle, Dad and I put something, a little something in the mail for you guys that should be coming." I mean, right at the time where Michelle was just so discouraged, I think it arrived that day or the next, within days, just in time. Just now, you may say, "Well, Brother Cook, that wasn't an emergency need." Well, to a young mother who thought she wouldn't be able to do anything for her children and wanted to do just a little something, all of us look at things a little lightly or a little differently. But God meets our most basic needs, but he also meets our emergency needs. And so often we have no idea when those emergencies are coming. You see, because he is completely powerful enough to meet every need that arises in our life. We need to remember and notice something about our Lord. He is never in a hurry, but yet he is always on time. Always. Because we forget sometimes, as the Word of God says, it tells us even, I've got a brain cramp here. I'll think of it here in the book of Job. I can't remember which chapter, but it talks about how the world reached out and hung the world on nothing. If he can do that, he can meet a basic need and an emergency need well and long before we realize we ever had it. We had no idea of the timing. I don't know what the Lord's going to do here, but what if we had moved here 3 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago, a year later? All I can tell you that God gave me perfect peace about resigning our ministry. God guided, knew that I was going to move to Arizona to be closer to my daughter and her family and our 3 youngest granddaughters. We knew we wanted to go out there. And my arthritis said, "Yeah, that's a pretty good idea too." And we just made the decision by faith, resigned in October, started making arrangements, visiting family, went down to see her some, spent a little time in Florida, visited some churches that we helped over the last 4 years. God has allowed us to help 4, 5, 6 churches over the last 4 years to keep their doors open that were really struggling and almost closed their doors, and helped the church to go through a transition of a pastor retiring and someone else coming in. And we were just thrilled to be able to use the Lord that way. But this, not quite knowing for sure what the Lord had next, but God provided our needs. I didn't understand why what happened in COVID. I didn't understand all that was going on. I didn't understand why the Lord pressed upon us to sell our house and make another transition. But I tell you what, when that house sold for a whole lot more money than I paid for, And I got to Arizona, I realized why I needed that extra money, because it's expensive over here. But you know, God met a need before I realized I even had it. He meets our basic needs. He meets our emergency needs. Why? Again, because he is completely powerful enough to meet every need that arises when it comes. God is compassionate enough to meet my most basic needs. God is powerful enough to meet our emergency needs. And number three, God is wise enough to meet our future needs. Wasn't it wonderful to know that he knows exactly what's going on? Let me ask another way. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He's not scratching his head and wondering what's going to happen. He's not concerned of how we're going to get through this. He knows exactly what's going on. Write down the word here, if you still got your Bible open or have your notes, providence. Providence. Let's look back at our text and read verse 2, 3, and 4. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. Now, let's read a little bit behind the scenes here a little bit. One of these guys really liked to be around Elijah. And the Spirit of God prompted him to say, Elijah, come with us. Now, we know the rest of the story. Isn't it a good thing he was asked to go? Think about that. God's providence. I think the idea, be content, basically could mean, Elijah, if it's not too much trouble for you, do you mind hanging out with us? Elijah, do you mind going with us? Elijah, do you mind going with us? We just want to be around the man of God. Well, I can remember the first time. I remember when I first surrendered to preach. And I remember having the opportunity to sit under the ministry of Dr. Lee Robertson. Preacher, every young preacher wore a double-breasted black suit because Dr. Lee Robertson did. They just wanted to be around the man of God, wanted to talk to him, wanted to rub shoulders, wanted to be in there wherever he was, or even have a cup of coffee or ask him some questions. No doubt these young preachers, these young men in training, wanted to be around Elisha. Just a simple request by the young prophet in training. And Elisha said, yeah, I'll go. You see, the Bible specifically records this simple request and Elijah's answer. And then in verse 4 says, so he went with them, period. He went with them. Here it is recorded. Sometimes we look at the Word of God, we look behind the scenes, we look how it might apply to us today, and use a little average horse sense. It's not only in Arkansas, brother. There's in other parts of the world that use it as well. But by the way, if you're the kind to try to rationalize this, you would probably write in your commentary, big deal. What's the big deal? He asked and he went with them. Well, if you don't know the rest of the story, you might think that. But what would have taken place if he didn't go? How would they handle the situation if the one God appointed to use in this situation as well as in other situations, if you continue to read your Bible through 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, you'll also see how God used him. God works through his prophet. Now, if you're one who believes in the providence of God, you would write the word again, providence. Because we already know God works through his prophets. See, it's not that Elijah exclusively had the power of God. It's that when God chose to work in faithless and unbelieving Israel, he chose to work through his prophets. So, if there's going to be a miracle in Israel, Elisha had to be there. I wonder how often that God wants to do a great work. I wonder how often the Lord wants to show himself strong and we just don't show up and we're not where we should be in God's timing and in God's place. God is not limited today during the church age. He's here working as a prophet. I believe that God uses believers today. And yes, sometimes women, I'm not referring to preaching, all those other things, but sometimes God uses men, women, and boys and girls to make an impact on the life and the difference of others. Have you ever seen someone in your life that was so hard that you thought, man, I don't know if he'll ever get saved. But yet a little girl comes by and knocks on the door. And the old rough gentleman comes to the door and opens the door and says, what do you want? And then looks down and realizes it's a little 7-year-old girl. And he kneels down and says, I'm sorry, sweetheart, what can I do for you? And she just smiles and looks up and hands him a tract and said, would you go to church with me Sunday? Sometimes God uses little ones to soften the hearts of others that the gospel might proceed. God wants to work till we make ourselves available. I'm so glad that the student asked. I'm so glad that the prophet said, yeah, I'll go. Because we know by the reading the rest of the story of what exactly took place. Don't you think that the guy who lost his axe head in the river was thankful for the guy that said, Elisha, come with us? We don't know who it was, but it doesn't appear to be the one that did the chopping and lost his axe. It was somebody else. But I'm sure he's so glad that somebody said, will you come with us? See, if Elisha had been there, had not been there, how would they have ever gotten the axe head? I don't know how clear that water was. I'd imagine the Jordan is probably pretty muddy. I don't know how long it would have taken them to scuba dive. Oh, wait a minute. They didn't have scuba gear. I don't know how long it would take them to poke around, to swim around, to try to find that valuable axe head. But they didn't have to do it. The prophet just cut down the limb, threw it in the water, and it floated to the top. Sometimes it really is that simple. And sometimes we just have to wait and endure and wait upon God's timing. But God still meets needs, even our future needs. This young student had no idea what would take place. This young student had no idea that he would lose that axe head. This other students had no idea what would take place. But somebody asked, somebody provided, and Elisha went with them at a time when Elisha was there with them. What if he had not been there? What if he had been into the city? What if he went over to the king and the leaders and began to warn them or prophesy for them of the coming things? But no, he was there that day at that time because God appointed a future need he knew that needed to be met. And God knows the needs that we have. You see, the only reason that Elisha was there is that God providentially placed him there. Let me share with you a personal story tonight in a few moments and I'll be finished. I can remember owing a mortgage payment and not having the funds to pay for it. Ever been there? Boy, the crisis time that we're living in now, post-COVID, all that's going on, and cost of living going up, and everyone weren't concerned about how prices have gone up, and eggs have gone for 99 cents a dozen to $5, $6, and $7 a dozen. Boy, things are just expensive. Things are getting a little difficult. But God is still in control. But I can remember wondering, I'm trying to think back. We were in Cocoa, Florida. I was on staff at the church that I got saved in. And we had a great need. I wasn't sure about making the mortgage payment, how things were going to work out, but God did. And let me share this with you. Again, it probably wasn't something you were concerned about or even knew, and I'm going to share it with you tonight, but I was desperate. But yet God in his providence gave me a couple things. First of all, one night at church, a gentleman that I had not spent a whole lot of time with, did not know very well, just came up and introduced himself to me, basically wanting and showing himself friendly. And he looked at me and said, "Preacher, if you ever have a need, if there's ever anything I could ever do for you, would you do me the honor? Would you allow me to be a blessing? Will you allow me to help you?" And I thought to myself, okay. Now, this was before the need for the mortgage payment. This was previously. And I thought to myself, wow, thank you. I mean, I had never had anyone come up and introduce himself and want to be my friend, a brother in Christ that said, look, if you ever have a need, would you let me meet that need? Would you let me be a blessing? And I just smiled real big and I thanked him. Second, some time a little bit later, God sent a hurricane and damaged my roof. Now, here this hurricane is down here on the coast there in the Cocoa, Florida. I just met a friend a few weeks before, and after meeting my friend and this hurricane storm coming in, I've got this mortgage payment coming up. I've still got a little bit of time. I've got to make it. I don't know how in the world I'm going to make the payments. And Michelle gets a little bit frustrated with me in our early marriage, let me make something very clear. Michelle and I never fight. Never. Now, we do have intense fellowship on occasion, but we never argue and we never fight. But I can remember Michelle getting a little bit nervous, a little bit concerned. We've got this mortgage payment coming up. What are we going to do? Here comes this hurricane. Now, on top of all this, a mortgage payment, needing to pay these bills. A hurricane is coming our way. Our first hurricane as adults and as a married couple. And so God sends this hurricane, damages the roof to the home that we live in. And by the way, let me back up. Guess what the occupation was of my new friend who wanted to be a blessing to me? He was a roofer. Sure was. He was a roofer. The storm came through and we found out there was some damage. And I thought to myself, oh man, I've got to talk to my new friend. I don't know what I'm going to do. But God went a little further than that, meeting my emergency need. God sent a generous insurance adjuster that cut me a check for more than enough money to pay my mortgage, buy groceries, pay all the utilities. And then my friend fixed it for free, F-R-E-E. He said, preacher, you don't owe me a dime. I've got a big bag of shingles back here for the last job. Don't need it. It's paid for. Just let me get there and hold the ladder and we'll take care of it. That's God meeting a future need that we don't even realize that we have. That's God preparing to meet future needs. His providence in my time of need provided a new friend, a storm, a generous adjuster, and monies to pay my bill, and then in some. So listen, if you ever need money, you're ever having problems with areas, just pray for a hurricane. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. We're in Arizona, that ain't gonna happen. But you know, it really doesn't matter what the circumstance is. God just has a way of meeting needs. So often we forget and realize that we serve an awesome God. Do we communicate with God only when there's a need? Remember back during Vietnam, they coined the phrase, the old foxhole conversions, where people got scared into faith. Folks, we need to have a reverential fear for our Lord, but we also need to realize that we serve a loving, providing God. He does not tolerate sin, but he's a God that wants to meet our needs. How often do we sit down and pray? How often do we approach the aspect of Abba Father? I've got three little girls. And I am having a ball with my three granddaughters. Ivy, Thea, and Jovi. They're our three youngest granddaughters. The mother is our middle daughter, Kayla. And our son-in-law, Ryan. And when Kayla was growing up, all of my girls, basically, but especially Kayla, I'd be sitting in my recliner, sit down, I'd prop up the recliner, and she would hop up on the end of it and bend over and pull up her shirt and say, Daddy, tickle my back. Or she'd lay back and say, Daddy, play with my hair. And guess what those three little girls have already learned how to do? We ain't even been there a few weeks, and they already know what it's like. And Ivy said the other day, Papa, they call me Papa, they call Michelle Grams, you're a great snuggler. And she means, I'm going to tickle her back. I'm going to play with her hair. I'm going to do all those things. You know, we've lost aspect of an idea that in our minds, not necessarily physically, but in our minds or in a place that we can go to, we have the same opportunity to curl up in our Heavenly Father's lap, Abba Father, and say, Lord, I have a need. Lord, would you just snuggle up with me a little bit? Lord, would you just comfort me in my time of need? But so often we don't picture it that way. We just think of having a need and asking, bowing our head and saying, Lord, would you provide that need? Lord, you know I'm in need. How do we approach our Heavenly Father compared to how we approach our earthly father? Now, girls, I think, have a different approach. See, the girls have no problem crawling up in Daddy's lap and saying, Daddy, I love you. Have no problem coming and saying, Daddy, do you need anything? And just sitting and just wanting to snuggle from the time they were little. Till in her 30s, my oldest pushing in her 30s. Even to this day, gentlemen, my daughters, when I spend time with them, the first thing on the agenda when I walk in the door, the girls pull me aside, said, Dad, before the grandkids get you, when are we having our daddy-daughter date? They're married and have their own kids, but they want a daddy-daughter date because I did from the time they were little, all the time growing up and spending time, trying to teach them that I'm approachable, but your Heavenly Father is so much more approachable. He meets our basic needs. He meets our emergency needs. He meets our future needs before we realize that we have them. So why does God want you to know that he meets basic needs? Why does God want you to know that he meets emergency needs? Why does God want to know that he meets future needs or needs that you don't even know you have? Simply put, because he wants us to know that he cares for his children. Think about it, dads. God loves us more than we love our own children. God is a provider, just like we want to be for our children. He wants to provide and meet our needs. But so often we don't ask, or so often we don't have the faith to ask. But God wants to meet our needs because he wants us to know that he cares for his children. Friends, life is filled with needs. It's filled with emergencies. It's filled with uncertainties. It's filled with unknowns, and it's filled with unseens. If we consider the book of Isaiah, chapter 59 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear." If we think about that, let's make one application tonight and we're done. You ready? God specializes in meeting the needs in our lives. He specializes in meeting the needs of our life. And what, to me, I get so excited about, this is doctrinally incorrect, okay? You may hear me say this. This is doctrinally incorrect, but I like it anyway. Sometimes I feel like I'm his favorite. I know I'm not. That's what I mean by doctrinally incorrect. But sometimes he's so good to me, I think I'm his favorite. And my kids like to play that game. They like to say, I'm the favorite. No, I'm the favorite. Daddy, who's the favorite? And I said, you're all my favorite. But sometimes, if you think about it, not having a favorite, but sometimes the one that's struggling the most, that I spend the most time in prayer with, is because they need their daddy to go before our Lord on their behalf. Not that they're my favorite, just because I have a burden for them. Just like us today, as we pray for our kids and pray for those around us, we have a Heavenly Father that can meet my needs and my children's needs at the same time he's meeting someone else's needs in Arizona or Tennessee or Florida or California or New York or wherever it may be. He can do all that at the same time without any problem whatsoever. That kind of God should excite Christians enough to realize that no matter how basic that I think it is, I can go to my Heavenly Father. No matter how little that I think it is, I can go to him for that basic need, that emergency need. And for that future need, we don't really have to worry about it until it gets here because God's already got it covered. And he uses others around us and in our life to meet those needs. Will we enjoy that? Will we take the opportunity to allow the Lord to work in our lives to do that? Or will we just sit back and mumble and grumble about all the problems that we have? Folks, believe me, I'll be the first one to tell you, life ain't easy. It's not. I'm learning real quick, growing older ain't for sissies. There ain't no whips in senior citizen. That's rough. But God just has a way as we lean upon him, call upon him, day by day, little by little, to meet our needs. Some years ago, when we were on the mission field, my dad came over to visit. I guess I got involved in missions at a young age. Michelle and I gave our tithe and gave the missions from the day one that we were married, have for years. My mom and dad are involved in missions, giving the missions. My dad grew up in the old BBF fellowship and were really excited about missions and giving the missions and all those things and got involved and always gave the missions. He went to Mexico to help build dormitories, to put in air conditioner, but he never went beyond the U.S. or South America. And one year he came to Eastern Europe. Daddy grew up on a farm. Life wasn't easy. 9 brothers and 6 sisters. You had to be quick to get something to eat. Grew up on a farm. He went over to visit us on the mission field. We were in Moldova in 1994 in a third world country. You just about need a briefcase to exchange $5 to carry the money away. It was so poor. This poverty was just waiting in line to buy flour, waiting in line to buy sugar, waiting in line in 94 at $12 and $10 a gallon for fuel and wait in line for an hour. It was just rough. I don't know how the people lived, and they scraped by and they sacrificed. And Dad came over for a visit. In fact, we needed to rebuild a transmission in our Suburban that our church sent over to help us as we lived out in the village in an air excluded away. And Johnny came over with him, a new friend of his who he met, emergency need. I had a need. My transmission slipped. I couldn't get the parts. It was nowhere in the area. My dad had transmission worked on in his car. He was sitting in the shop, and the owner came out and was talking. And my dad, I'm like, my dad never met a stranger. He's talking to old Johnny. They become friends. And before you know it, he finds out that I'm on the mission field. And Johnny says, well, look, if your son ever needs anything, let me know. Well, about 8 months later, he picks up the phone and he calls. Hey, Johnny, remember about that time you told me that every needy thing to give you a call? He said, yeah, my son needs a transmission. He already knew I was in Eastern Europe. He said, here's what is his answer. When do we leave? Oh, Johnny came over. And my dad flew over. They worked and rebuilt that Chevy transmission in our car while we were there. They were in shock and awe of the living conditions. And I reminded my dad, Dad, this is the way you grew up. What do you mean it's rough? He said, yes, son, I understand that. But it's a lot harder to go backwards than it is to grow up under these conditions. How are you guys doing? I said, Dad, we're doing fine. God is good. Souls are being saved. The church is growing. I just need my transmission fixed. But God was meeting my future needs. Because someone sharing a story, sharing their faith, finding out someone else was a believer, and said, if you ever have a need. Folks, there's people out there. In fact, sometimes there's even non-believers that are so friendly that are willing to help someone else. I don't know how many times that I've met non-believers, unchurched people that never heard the gospel, that offered to help me in a time of need. And through the circumstances, through the situation, eventually they got saved. But it's just opening ourselves up to them. Inviting them in, and us stepping into their life. God wants to meet our most basic need. God wants to meet our emergency needs. And God has already made plans to meet our future needs. Let me ask tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll have a word of prayer, and I'll turn the service back over to the pastor this evening. Maybe you have a need. Maybe God wants to use you to meet someone else's need. But will we be sensitive enough to say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? What will we do to say, Lord, whatever it takes in losing my axe. Lord, whatever it takes in other circumstance, Lord, I'm just going to trust you because I know my God meets emergency needs. And I know that sometimes God uses his men, his women, his children to meet the needs of others. Will we make ourselves available when we have needs? Will we also make ourselves available when God wants to use us to meet someone else's needs? Father, bless the time this evening. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, I pray that you speak to the hearts and minds of your people, Father. May we be ready, willing, and able to not only ask when we have a need, but trust you, Lord, when we do, but also make ourselves available that you might use us to meet the need of someone else. Father, bless, we do ask and pray in thy most precious and holy name. Amen.